The song that we just sang contains a beautiful sentiment and a beautiful question. Why did my Savior come to earth? It's a very good question for us to think about, not only at this time of the year when many individuals think about the coming of Jesus Christ, but all year round we need to think about the coming of Christ and why He came. And the chorus of that song says that He came to give His life for you and me. And we think about that each Sunday, each first day of the week throughout the year. We think about why our Savior came to earth. And we think about the statement of the angel in Matthew chapter 1 that His name would be Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. I want us to think this morning about the important question, why did my Savior come to earth? And I want us to think about it from the standpoint of purpose and mission. What was His mission in coming? What was His purpose in coming? Sometimes we need to be reminded of the focus or the mission of something. We might be at work and our boss wants us to remember, what is our mission? What is our purpose? A sports team might need to huddle up and remind themselves of their purpose. There might be individuals who come together to review why they are doing what they're doing, and it's certainly important to think about why our Savior came. What was His purpose? What was His mission? If we don't do that from time to time, we find that that gets lost. It gets lost in the religious world today. It gets lost in the religious confusion that we have in the world today. The real purpose and mission of Jesus coming gets lost. And so it's certainly good for us to remind ourselves of that. Not only once a year around the holiday season, but 52 weeks out of the year, we remind ourselves of why Jesus came. And we come together to partake of the Lord's Supper each first day of the week to remember His death on the cross. There's nothing of a religious nature or a biblical authority for celebrating the birth of Christ, but there certainly is for the death of Christ. And so we just have taken the Lord's Supper and we remember that. And not just once a year, but each first day of the week. And I want us to think this morning about the importance of the Lord coming again. Coming the first time, and of course He will come again. And by coming again the second time, He will judge us based upon how that we have looked at His appearing the first time that He came. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We need to be thinking about why our Savior came to earth. Why our Savior came to earth. 1 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. When the Lord comes again, Paul says, that He will be the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but also all them that have loved His appearing. What Paul is talking about there in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8 is that those who have loved His appearing, those who have loved the coming of Jesus, when Jesus came, He came for a purpose, He came for a mission, and those who have loved that, who have accepted that, who have obeyed the Lord and His word when He came, they will be ready when He comes again. I want us to think about the idea of and the question of why did my Savior come to earth? Well, first of all, let's consider it from a negative standpoint. There were some things that He did not do when He came. For example, my Savior did not come to eradicate disease. Now, He worked miracles, and sometimes He would heal a leper, and He would help someone who was sick, but He didn't come for the purpose and the main mission of eradicating disease. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Why did Jesus work miracles? And some of those miracles dealt with disease. He worked miracles to demonstrate that He was the Almighty Son of God. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, Jesus was approved of God by mighty works and wonders and signs which God did by Him. Sometimes that included healing someone with a disease. You turn to Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 when Peter is preaching to Cornelius. In Acts 10 and verse 38, Peter mentions there about the idea of Jesus working miracles. But what was it for? Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. Yes, Jesus helped people with diseases. But if you keep reading down to verse 43, He came to give forgiveness of sins. And so, the idea of healing someone, That was certainly a part of his work, and he performed miracles, but it was to show that he was the Son of God. These miracles were to show that he was the Son of God so that people could believe in him. It was not to just simply get rid of disease. Jesus didn't come to remove poverty. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. He certainly lived and dwelt among the poor. He certainly associated with the poor and the outcasts of society. But his purpose, his mission, was not to come just simply to give people money so that they could get out of their poverty, or help them in some way find a job so that they could get out of their poverty. That was not his mission. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, in a fulfillment of Psalm, one of the Psalms, one of the prophecies of the Psalms, I'm sorry, of Isaiah, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, he is reading from the book of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He hath sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recover of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Notice what Jesus came and did with the poor. He preached good tidings to the poor. He didn't come to give them a handout. He didn't come to give them a job fair where they could come and learn how to get a job and who was hiring and that type of thing in order to get people out of poverty. He didn't come and create government works in order to give people jobs, building roads and things like that. He came to proclaim good tidings to the poor. And if you read and notice the whole tenor of this passage, it's spiritual in nature. Yes, for example, in verse 18, he healed a blind man. In John chapter 9, he healed a blind man. But he came to set at liberty them that are blind and recover the sight to the blind. This was spiritual also in nature, those who were spiritually blind. And proclaim release, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and set at liberty them that are bruised. Yes, sometimes that involved physical things, but he came to release us from the bondage of sin, John chapter 8. And so we need to understand that Jesus came for a spiritual purpose. Sometimes it involved physical diseases, and sometimes it involved those that were physically poor. But the overall tenor and mission was to help them spiritually, to, what do we find in verse 18? To preach good tidings to the poor. That's what they really needed. How that they could hear a gospel that would help them to get out of sin. Why did my Savior come to earth? It was not to bring about civil rights. Turn to John chapter 6 and verse 15. The Jews wanted to get some help. They were being oppressed by the Romans. The Jews in and around Jerusalem had Romans in town that were over them. And there were many Jews who were tired of the Romans being over them. They were tired of that Roman government. They were tired of that Roman oppression. And sometimes Jews would go out and they would secretly try to kill Romans. They were called the Zealots. There were Jews who wanted to get out of this Roman oppression that had been in their land about 60 years, even before the coming of Christ. And so there were those who wanted a king and who wanted a leader to rise up and march against the Romans. And in John chapter 6 and verse 15, we have one such occasion in which the Jews came to Jesus, and after he had fed the 5,000, it says there that they wanted to come and make him a king. The verse says, "Perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force and make him a king." We're going to make you our civil rights leader. In other words, you're going to lead us. You're going to help us get out of this Roman oppression. And what does the verse say? He escaped and went out of their midst. He did not want to have any part of that. And so he withdrew and went into a mountain. His kingdom was not physical in nature. His kingdom was not of this world. And so he didn't come about in order to be a physical king and help the Jews get out from underneath this Roman oppression. It wasn't about civil rights. He never led some march in the streets that had some political overtone to it. We don't find that. That's not why he came. Even in coming into Jerusalem, if you turn with me to the book of Matthew, when Jesus came into Jerusalem on the last week of his ministry before going to the cross, we find in Matthew chapter 21 what has been called the triumphal entry. And we find that all of the people are coming out and they're putting the palm branches down and they're crying, "Hosanna, Son of David." And we find that he comes riding in we find that when he came into town, it was to teach in the temple. It was not to create some kind of overthrow, some sort of political uprising to go against the Romans. He came in and he began to teach in the temple. And so he didn't come to bring about civil rights. He didn't come simply to feed the hungry. Turn with me to John chapter 6 in the feeding of the 5,000. There were times in which his miracles included physically feeding people. But again, the point is what we've already made. Why did he work these miracles that involved food? Listen carefully. Was it simply to provide food? Was that his mission? He's up in heaven and he sees hungry people down on the earth and he says, I'm going to go to the earth to feed hungry people. No, it was a miracle that involved feeding physically people, but that was not the end of it. That was not the purpose. That was not the mission. And we know that because in John chapter 6, after feeding the 5,000, look at verse 26. The next day, some had followed him across the Sea of Galilee. They wanted more food. And if his mission and his purpose was to simply give people food, he would have given them the second day. But no, he says, work not for the food which perisheth, but for that which is for eternal life. And so, you seek me not because you saw signs. That's why he was working the miracles, not just simply to feed people, but the signs were to point to his deity. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John says that he performed signs that you might believe that he is the Son of God, and that in believing you might have eternal life. Jesus said in verse 26, you didn't seek me this next day, the next day that you came. You didn't come because you wanted more miracles to prove my divinity. You came because you ate the loaves, verse 26, and were filled. Work not for the food which perisheth. I'm not about just simply providing food. That's not why I came. Just simply to feed the hungry. But for the food which abideth unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. And the rest of the chapter, in continuing reading, he talks about, I am the bread of life that comes down out of heaven. I am here to provide that which is spiritual. That's what my focus is. That's what my mission is. It wasn't just simply to feed the hungry. It wasn't to improve education. Jesus didn't come to improve secular education. He didn't set up a school. He didn't teach secular philosophy and that type of thing. At the end of 3 years of teaching his apostles, we find in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13 that with regard to Peter and John, they're described as ignorant and uneducated men. They were fishermen. But they had spent 3 years with Jesus learning the truth, learning the gospel. Jesus didn't come to build schools and universities. There were schools. There were those who could sit at the feet of Gamaliel, Acts chapter 5. There were those who could come to Jerusalem and learn a physical and a secular education at the feet of Jewish scholars. You could go to Antioch, as Paul did, and you could learn from Jewish and Greek scholars in Antioch. There were schools of learning. Jesus didn't come for that. These men, when Jesus got done with them, from a secular education standpoint, were ignorant and unlearned men. But he came to teach them the gospel. He didn't come to improve secular education. He didn't come to provide entertainment. In John chapter 2, Jesus went to a wedding. There were times, no doubt, in Jesus' life where he engaged in social activities. He went to a wedding. That was a social activity. That was not a spiritual activity. His mother was there. He was there. No doubt, he upheld social customs. He had no problem with attending someone's wedding. And I'm sure while he was there was very encouraging of the young couple and that type of thing. Marriages of God, he certainly would understand that. But while he was there, we find that he works this miracle. He turns water into wine. But you don't find Jesus coming to provide secular entertainment. That's not his purpose. That's not his mission. Now, look over these things that we've just mentioned. This matter of disease and poverty and civil rights and hungry and education and entertainment. Do you know of anybody in the religious world? Do you know of any churches that focus on those kinds of things? Absolutely. Do you think The religious world in general has lost sight of why Jesus came in the first place. Do you think so? Do you know of any churches that engage in bingo? Do you know of any churches that have carnivals and raffles and bake sales and go to theme parks and get on buses and with church money go to theme parks? March in the streets with civil rights and when it comes time to vote, encourage that type of thing and working with the poor and that type of thing? There are religious groups all over the world, in Springfield and around and other many places that focus on these kinds of things. Do you think that it's possible that folks have lost sight of why did my Savior come to earth? The answer is yes. There are many who simply do not realize why He came, or have been taught that in the past and have forgotten it, or don't want to think about that. They want to focus on the fun and games, you see. There are many this morning. There are many religious groups this morning that are focusing on food. There are all kinds of meals going on in church buildings and all kinds of entertainment going on this very morning, no doubt. Why did my Savior come to earth? Let's turn our attention now to the Scripture and let's answer that question. It wasn't for these things, but what was it for? Turn, for example, to Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at a few passages of Scripture this morning and let's see from the words of Jesus and others in the Gospel why He came. Notice in these passages that we're about to look at the phrase I came or I was sent or I have come. Let's look at the Bible itself and see why it was that Jesus came. Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law but to fulfill it. That's why Jesus came. To fulfill the old law. And the old law was not about fun and games. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Let's get a comment from Paul and learn what this means to fulfill the law. What does that mean? Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. When Jesus came to fulfill or complete the law, that is the old law, 39 books of the Old Testament, it pointed forward to Christ. What does it mean to fulfill that? Look at a commentary on this in Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. For Christ is the end, or the fulfillment, of the law, look at it, unto righteousness. For Christ to fulfill the law, it meant that He completed the law, He fulfilled the law for righteousness, so that people could be right with God, they could have their sins removed. It wasn't for fun and games. To fulfill the law means to complete what the law prophesied and promised in bringing about righteousness. It's a spiritual mission, in other words. Look with me at Matthew chapter 9. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus came to call sinners. He wants people to come out of their sin. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 24, Jesus said, I was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Lost, not lost education, lost in poverty, lost in sin. That's why Jesus came. Look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 35 when Jesus is sending out His apostles to preach the gospel. This is a difficult and a challenging statement, and some people have wondered, what does this mean? Look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 35. I came to set a man at variance or at odds against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. What is Jesus saying there? It sounds like He's saying that I came to get people fighting in their family. In Matthew chapter 10, if you keep reading, it explains what He means. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. I came to preach the truth and to show that you have to love me more than anybody else. You have to obey my word. I'm the Son of God. You have to follow me. And in doing that, some people will do that and some people won't. And when that happens, there's going to be a variance. There's going to be at odds in a family. You might have one spouse that follows Jesus and the other one that doesn't. You might have parents that follow Jesus and a son or a daughter who doesn't, or vice versa. You might have family members who love Jesus more than anything and follow Him and some who don't. And that will cause division in the family relationship. But He came to show that He is the Almighty Son of God and preach the truth. And in doing that, it's going to set people at odds against each other. Again, notice the spiritual mission. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, the passage that we had earlier when Jesus is in Capernaum in the synagogue there and He's standing up and reading from Isaiah. I came to preach good tidings to the poor. I came to proclaim release to the captives. Captives in what way? Did Jesus come and he went up to people who were shackled with physical chains and he gathered an uprising and he got people out of prisons? No, he got them out of the prison of sin. They were in captive to the devil. Jesus says in John chapter 8 that when we are in sin, we're a bondservant of the devil, and I'm going to release people from that captivity. I'm going to set at liberty them that are bruised spiritually. These things have a double fulfillment. Sometimes Jesus did some things that involved physical healing and so forth, but this is fulfilled ultimately in his spiritual mission in getting people out of the bondage of sin. Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 43. Notice how Jesus stayed focused on his mission. And as we come to the close of our lesson this morning, we're going to look at in just a moment the idea of staying focused. Do you ever lose your focus? You lose your focus as to what you're about, maybe as a person or something in your job, and you've got to get the focus back. You've got to come back to center. You've got to come back to what the focus is. Jesus always kept focused. Look at Luke chapter 4. And verse 42, Luke 4:42. And when it was day, he came out and went into a desert place, and the multitudes sought after him, and came unto him, and would have stayed him, and he should not go from them. In other words, stay with us, don't go anywhere else. But he said unto them, I must preach the good tidings of the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for therefore was I sent. Underscore that in your Bible. Why did my Savior come to earth? Why was he sent from heaven? Why did he come? To preach good tidings. There's always a spiritual focus. You'll never find him coming for political reasons. You'll never find him coming for educational reasons. You'll never find him coming for food and fun and games. You'll never find a statement anywhere in the Word of God like that. And yet, much of the religious world is about that very thing. But notice verse 43, also another point. I must preach. Notice his focus. Notice his focus. I must preach to other cities because that's why I was sent. Not only did Jesus have a mission, but he stayed focused on that mission. And we'll come back to that later in the lesson. Why did my Savior come? To preach good tidings so that we can have forgiveness of sins through the gospel. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 32, Jesus said, I am not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. I came to get people to repent, to get out of their sin, turn their back on sin, change their life. That's what repentance is. That's why Jesus came. Notice in Luke chapter 12 and verse 49, another statement that's challenging and we wonder what it might mean. Turn with me to Luke 12 and verse 49. I came to cast fire upon the earth. What is that? Sounds a little odd. Let's turn over there and read that passage. I came to cast fire upon the earth. Every time we're seeing a spiritual focus, a spiritual mission. Here's a case in which we have to read past the verse to find out what he's talking about. Did Jesus come to? He came down and he had this stick with fire in it and he shot fire out. Is that he came to bring fire upon the earth? In Luke chapter 12 and verse 49, I came to cast fire upon the earth, and what do I desire if it is already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened till it be accomplished. Think ye that I am come to give peace in the earth? I tell you no, but rather division. This is the same as the passage earlier in Matthew chapter 10. I came to divide. Not in the sense of I came to cause trouble and get people all mad at each other. I came with a spiritual mission of bringing the truth of the gospel, and that divides. It naturally divides. Some people accept it, some people don't. And there will be division. I came rather to bring division, for there shall be from henceforth five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. They shall be divided, father against son and son against father and mother against daughter and daughter against mother-in-law and a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. When I come, I'm bringing fire. Fire in the New Testament and in the teaching of Jesus is a symbol of judgment. I am coming to bring the truth of God's Word, and it will judge people. And when it judges people, it's going to divide families because some people are going to accept it and some people aren't. A spiritual mission always. Turn to John chapter 1 and verse 31. Let's look at a statement of John the Baptist. John knew why that Jesus came. John the Baptist knew why Jesus came, and we need to understand that as well. In John 1 and verse 31, John said, "I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel." He came to be made manifest to Israel. He came to show himself to Israel. Why? For political reasons, educational reasons, recreational reasons? No. Back up to two verses before that. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's why he was manifest to Israel. There's always a spiritual mission associated with Jesus, and that is forgiveness of sins. In John chapter 3 and verse 17, "For God sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him." And that salvation is salvation from sin. It's not salvation from poverty. It's not salvation from illiteracy. It's not salvation from terrible diseases that don't have cures. It's salvation from sin. Yes, Jesus worked miracles that from time to time involved feeding the hungry, and from time to time involved healing someone with a disease. But those miracles were to show that he was the divine Son of God. It always comes back to pointing to salvation from sin. Consider John chapter 6 with me, that passage that we read earlier. When the people came across the Sea of Galilee to find him again, they wanted some more food. Jesus said, "I am the living bread which came down out of heaven." This is the bread which came down out of heaven. We're answering the question, why did my Savior come? Why did the bread of heaven come down out of heaven? "That he that eateth this bread shall live forever." He can have spiritual life, the life of the world. Forgiveness of sins, eternal life. That's why Jesus came. We've got to remember that. Today it's all about a lot of other things, isn't it? It's a lot about physical things. It's a lot about fun and food and physical things. Many have lost sight of why Jesus came. Jesus said, "For judgment came I into the world, that they that see not may see, and they that see," that is, see spiritually or with the mind, "may become blind," those who don't want the truth. There's always a spiritual mission involved. Look at John chapter 10 when Jesus was teaching about how that he is the great shepherd and the door of the sheep. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, "I came that they may have life," that is spiritual life, "and may have it abundantly." We've got to remember why Jesus came. We've got to accept his own words. We've got to look at why he himself said that he came. Look at John chapter 12 and verse 27. "Father, save me from this hour." He's talking about going to the cross. Look at this. Right before the cross he says, "But for this cause I came. But for this cause came I unto this hour," and it's the hour of the cross. That's why I came. It all culminates in the cross, which is going to be Jesus' death for the salvation of the sins of the world. The hour was not the hour of fun and games. The hour was not some political hour. This is the hour in which you're going to have your political uprising and civil rights. Here's when we march on Rome. No, it's the hour of the cross, where he dies for the sins of the world. And Jesus recognized, and notice his focus, "But for this cause came I unto this hour." He recognized that this is what it all culminates in, and this is where I'm headed, and this is the end point. He kept that before his mind. Stayed focused on the mission. Look at John chapter 18 and verse 37. "To this end have I been born." Why was Jesus born? Why did Jesus come to earth? Why was he born and laid in a manger and grew up in Nazareth and began to preach at about 30 years old? Why did he do all of that? "That I should bear witness unto the truth." Because it's the truth that saves. It's the truth that frees, John 8:32. It was not for some other purpose. It was simply to come and bring us the truth of God's Word so that we can be saved from our sin. Why did my Savior come? Well, ask those around Jesus. First of all, ask the angel. Turn back to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Ask the angel who came to Joseph and Mary. Ask him. He'll tell you why Jesus came. Jesus came to save His people from His sins. In the scripture reading that we had this morning, His name would be Jesus because He would save His people from their sins. Ask the angel, he'll tell you why Jesus came. Ask His close friend, John, who reclined on His breast there in the Last Supper. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. Ask those close to Jesus and they'll tell you why He came. They know what His mission was. They've stayed focused on that. And unlike many today who have lost sight of the real reason why Jesus came, when you turn to the Scripture, you find why He came. John says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, to this end, the purpose, the goal, the focus, to this end was the Son of Man manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil, namely the sin that He had introduced into all humanity. Ask the Apostle Paul. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. Why did my Savior come to earth, Paul? Tell me, why did my Savior come to earth? I want to know the truth. I want to know the real reason. I want to be a Christian today who goes back and understands the real reason why Jesus came. I don't simply want to be a part of some church that you go in weekly and it's all about fun and games and it's all about what the people want. I want to be a part of a group that has that same mission of Jesus. Tell me, Paul, what is that? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. Faithful is the saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world. Paul, tell me, why did Jesus come? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You see, that's why my Savior came. Now, that doesn't bring big crowds. You're not going to have a mega church with something like that. And it's not going to have the coffee shop and the donuts. And it's not going to have the entertainment up front in the building. But it's going to be what Jesus wants. In the 90s, we had what was called the mega church movement. Different places around the land where buildings would be built to house 20 or even 30,000 members. They may not have all been there at one time, but enough to hold that many. The mega church movement. And there would be coffee shops out in the foyer and that type of thing. No, you're not going to have that type of thing. And you're not going to have entertainment up front. And you'll never get on a church bus and be taken to Dollywood. And there won't be a raffle and there won't be a bingo night. And there won't be a bake sale. But it'll be what Jesus wants. Why did my Savior come, Paul? He came to save sinners. Ask Jesus Himself and He'll tell you that He came to seek and to save the lost. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Ask Jesus Himself in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28 where He said that I have come to be a servant, not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. A ransom is a spiritual term meaning to be bought out of sin. It always comes back to that spiritual mission, doesn't it? Well, this morning I want us to close with these last three points. We've got to apply this in our lives today. Jesus and why He came and me. What does all this have to do with me here this morning? Jesus coming for a spiritual mission. What does it have to do with me? Consider three points this morning. Number one, the Lord's mission of salvation is going to be my mission each day that I get up. As an individual Christian, when I get up each morning and I have an opportunity to be about other people, whether it's at work or out at the store or in the community, Jesus' mission is going to be my mission. His mission was to seek and to save the lost, and that's what my mission is going to be. Turn with me to Romans chapter 9. There are several passages here that I will refer to, but turn with me to Romans chapter 9. You see, why did my Savior come to earth is not just some
philosophical or theoretical question to think about. He came to seek and to save the lost, and he wants me as his follower to do the same, to carry on that same mission, to carry on that same goal and that same purpose. And so I've got to be thinking about personal evangelism. I've got to be thinking about how can I talk with someone about the gospel. And like Paul, my conscience bearing witness, I have great sorrow and unceasing pain in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were anathema for Christ for my kinsman's sake in the flesh. He wanted his brethren to be saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, my supplication and heart's desire is that they may be saved. Jesus' mission was Paul's mission. Jesus' mission was to save. Paul's mission was to save. That needs to be mine as well. When we pass that neighbor and friend and family member and co-worker and someone at school, we need to be saying, hey, come to services with me. Here's a bulletin I'd like for you to read. I've got a copy of the sermon I'd like for you to listen to. Can we have a Bible study? Jesus' mission needs to be my mission. They're lost, brethren. They're lost, and they're going to be lost eternally in the fires of hell if we do not bring them to the gospel. And so Jesus said in Matthew 9, 37 and 38, pray that the Lord would send reapers into the harvest. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And so you and I are those laborers, and we need to be thinking about that. Do you know of someone who's lost? We all know of someone who's lost. Let us try to do what we can to help them. In Acts 16, 9 and 10, Paul and others got what's called the Macedonian call. Come over and help us. That is, help us get out of sin. The greatest help that you can give somebody is not helping them fix their car. There's nothing wrong with that. Or help them fix something that's broken. Or help them with sin. In Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, the Apostle Paul said, I am a debtor to preach to Jews and Greeks. I am a debtor. And so as much as in me is, I want to preach the gospel. That needs to be our attitude. Now, we all have different talents. Not everybody can do the same thing, but all of us can find something to do. Even if it's just simply, will you come with me to services? All can do that. We might pass out a tract. We might pass out a bulletin. We might pass out a copy of the sermon. We might open up our home and let somebody else come and teach it, but we all need to be doing something. Let's not lose sight of our Lord's mission. His mission should be my mission. Number two, the Lord's mission should be the focus of this local church, not fun and food. And it's always been since I've been here. It was that way before I got here, and I hope it will be that way after I leave. That shows that we are wanting to be a true New Testament church. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. We have not had a meal this morning. We have not had fun and games this morning. We've not shown any movies this morning and that type of thing. Not because we don't have the money. Not because we don't have the talent. Not because we don't have the know-how. It's because that's not the mission of Jesus. He didn't come and die on the cross for hot dogs and hamburgers. He came to save souls and to preach the truth. Remember John 18, I came to bear witness of the truth. And so we find that the Thessalonian church, they knew what that focus was. They didn't lose sight of that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, from you hath sounded forth the word of the Lord. They were focused on that mission of Jesus Christ. This very moment around the world, there are things being done in the name of religion that have nothing to do with the word of the Lord. It has everything to do with fun and games. And so the Lord's mission of salvation should be the focus of the local church. And I'm glad that it is here. And I want all of us to understand, and I want our young people to understand, and others to understand, that when we come, we're staying focused on the Lord's mission. I love to eat. I love to have fun and play a ball game. But that's in our personal and private lives. That's a work of the home. It's not a work of the local church. There's a time and place for that. And I like going out with friends and eating, trying new eating places and all of that. And we could go on and on about that. But when we come together here, it is the Lord's church, and so it's the Lord's mission. And so in chapter 1 and verse 8, they sounded forth the word of the Lord because that's what they're supposed to be doing. We're the pillar and the ground of the truth. And we're going to stay focused on that. And so from this pulpit and around the Lord's table and in Bible classes, there's going to be the word of the Lord. No fun and games. It's not about entertainment. And I want our young people to understand that there's a time and place for that. And I mention the young people because you're the ones that are in a generation now of technology and color and sound and movies and internet. I don't want you to think that when you come here it's boring. This is what we're supposed to be about. There's a time and place for all that other. The younger generation is coming together, and all I heard was a sermon. All I heard was a Bible class. All I got was some Bible. No, that's what the Lord wants us to get. And so don't feel like, well, I'm bored, or I'm not having a good time, or I wish I were somewhere else. It's about what the Lord wants. In other places in our life, we can have those other kinds of things. But here, we're going to focus on the Lord's mission. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, if you're here this morning and you've not responded to the gospel, you need to let the Lord's mission be your mission. The Lord's mission is to save the lost. That needs to be your mission. I'm lost. I need to do nothing more but that right now. I'm not going to worry about anything else in my life until I get that done. And so when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all you that labor," that is labor in sin, "and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," you see, let that be an invitation that you accept this morning. So many times we're concerned about other things in my life. I've got my mind on other things. Right now, your mind needs to be on being right with God. It's important to go back and look at what Jesus really came for, isn't it? Because so many people have lost sight of that. As an individual Christian, have we gotten lost sight of our mission? When we get up each day, it's about everything but trying to save folks. Let's get back to our mission. We need to work. We have to put food on the table. We have to have shelter and clothing, and so the Lord wants us to work. And there are other things that the Lord wants in our life of that nature, but we've always got to keep at the forefront of our mind, I'm going to try to save someone. As a local church, let's stay focused as we have in the past. And Lord willing, if He gives us a new year, we're going to stay focused on that mission. And this morning, if you need to respond to the gospel and repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, let that be the utmost concern right now. You're not thinking about lunch. You're not thinking about what's going to happen the rest of the day. You're thinking about being made right with God. Just like Jesus stayed focused on His mission. He said, "For this hour have I come." This is why I am about what I'm doing. That's why Jesus was successful and went all the way to the cross, because He stayed focused on that. Stay focused on Jesus' mission. And if we can encourage you this morning to respond to the gospel, I want to do that. As a member of the church, if I can encourage you to be about personal work, talk with me about how that we can do that together. If we can go out and do that together, let's talk about that. Let's talk about how that we can be good personal workers. If I can encourage the local congregation here to stay focused on its mission, and if I can encourage you this morning to respond to the gospel, why won't you? We're going to stand and sing this song of invitation. Remember why Jesus came. He came simply to save you. Here's your opportunity to accept that salvation. Why won't you come as we stand and sing?